This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Miami Dolphins 70, and the Denver Broncos 20.
Impressive, man.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Do you even stop talking at some point when you're beating somebody like the way you're beating them, Raheem?
I just tell them to check the scoreboard. I think that's enough that needs to be said.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network reporter Steve Wyche, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. Still to come. Your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of our show on the air, the Rich Eisen Show, right here on the Roku channel, channel 210. As soon as we are done with this hour, the first 2 hours repeat, great in-studio conversations with my colleague from the NFL Network and Media Group, Steve Wyche, in studio. And then our full-on Wednesday college football chat, as we have every week with Bruce Feldman, was another dynamite one. If you missed it, guess what? It re-airs, as I mentioned. We also have our podcast, all 3 hours, available to you every single day through the Cumulus Podcast Network and the Rich Eisen Podcast Network that was created just a few weeks ago. Overreaction Monday. Every single Monday, Chris Brockman and I give you a half an hour plus version of what you see every single Monday on the program. Hot taken like crazy, or a pushback about the hot taken like crazy. Get that where all podcasts are acquired. And then on Tuesday, Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, What the Football as well. Chatting with these two ladies after their show yesterday. It was great to hear what was laid down, if you will, for you to listen to on all podcasts where they are acquired. Our YouTube page is where you can see it as well. TJ Jefferson stops by on that podcast as well. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Amy was talking about a great conversation about Bill Belichick having an opportunity to be the head coach of the Raiders. Let's just lay that one out there right now. This happened back in the late 90s,
when
it seems like Bill was a defensive coordinator with the NYJ, and the Raiders were looking for a new head coach.
Wow.
And Bill Belichick stopped in, and we'll let Susie and Amy pick up the story from there.
Listen, Al involved me one time in the almost 30 years I was with the team. He asked me to participate in one coaching search, had me meet with every single candidate, called me in afterwards and said, which one would you hire? And I was unequivocal. I said, Bill Belichick, absolutely unequivocally. Al did not hire Bill. And I thought the fact that I had told him I would pick Bill would remain between the two of us and never come out publicly. And then Al had the grace and the generosity, that's a better word, of at a press conference saying, and I was at this press conference and I was popped my heart. He said, Amy told me to hire Bill. She was right. And from that point on, he would look at me and say, kid, you know how to hire a coach. And by the way, you know how people talk about humble brags? I just bragged. There is no such thing as a humble brag. That's an oxymoron. So yeah, when I tell you that I recommend hire Bill, and that's before New England hired him, that's a brag.
Who'd he hire instead?
He hired John Gruden, which at the time worked out well. It was not a bad hire at the time, but I thought he should have hired Bill.
You must have been thinking about that during the Brady game, right? The forward pass game?
No, I was thinking of other things. Yeah, I was thinking of other things.
Hindsight, you're playing the result. Don't know if Bill would have been as successful.
Well, guess what? You're going to have a chance to follow up on all that because Susie's in this chair tomorrow while I'm stepping out to go hang out with our family at Roku. And Amy Trask will be here. So
could the Raiders have drafted Brady in 2000?
Like that? I mean, there are so many what ifs and sliding doors that come out of that conversation. Also, Amy told a gem of a story about 15 years ago this week when Al Davis fired Lane Kiffin via overhead projector. I remember that on NFL Network. Yeah, that was dynamite.
It was great.
So again, What the Football, where all podcasts can be acquired.
Can we get an overhead projector in here for tomorrow?
Yes,
Mike, you got one. Probably.
Do you have one at home?
I don't have an overhead projector.
I mean, you got everything else at your house.
I pretty much probably have everything else.
I mean, overhead projectors are went out with microfiche.
Mimeograph machine.
Right? Mimeograph machine.
Well, let's see. Overhead. Let's see.
Do you remember those, TJ?
Yeah.
You remember those.
Yeah. Remember those things?
You get the test and you'd immediately smell them.
Everyone in class was simultaneously picking up and smell.
By the way, couldn't have been good for us.
Probably not.
In retrospect.
In second grade, smelling that stuff? Like, no, that's not good for you.
There were fumes coming out of that.
Yeah. I mean, the shipping is expensive, but we can get an overhead projector for like $50 on eBay.
Overnight.
Hard pass. Just talk to Amy about it. She'll be right here.
Saying.
She'll be right here. All right, let's take some phone calls. Curtis in Colorado Springs have been hanging on for over 2 hours. What's up, Curtis?
Hey, Rich. How's it going?
What's going on?
Hey, so I'm not delivering a pizza today.
Oh, hey.
All right. All right.
What up?
That's good to know.
Today, instead, I'm making pulled pork grilled cheese for my family.
My man. Ooh.
All right. That sounds good.
But now, last time after I got off the call, I did the win-loss game for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, you said I'm 13-4. I got it right here. You had them losing to the Lions. Look at you. You also had them losing Sunday night. You want to turn that frown upside down, pal?
I'm not turning that frown upside down.
You are?
I am.
You sound smart,
Kurt. That's Curtis. Not the only game I'm changing, though.
You also had a loss against the Dolphins in Frankfurt.
I had a loss?
You had them losing that one, pal.
Well, then I'll continue with that one. I thought I had them winning that one.
No, you had them losing that one, and your last loss you had them was against the Raiders at home on a Monday night. You want to turn that frown upside down?
No.
Okay.
No, because there's always some divisional game that the Chiefs lose.
Okay.
That they shouldn't lose.
All right, so now you have them going 14-3, unless you want to change a win to a loss.
No, I thought I had the Chiefs winning against the Dolphins.
Nope.
And I'm not going to change that one.
Okay, so you got them 14-3.
I would have changed that one. But after I got off the air last time,
yes,
TJ Jefferson called into question my fandom.
Ooh.
Because of that opening night loss. Now, I pick to be right. I don't pick to be biased.
Ooh.
But if TJ, I'm not delivering a pizza today. If you want to actually vet me, you can go ahead and do that, sir.
I don't even remember what I said.
Let me just tell you, TJ's a lover, not a fighter, Curtis. Let's just, you know, he's not Lou Holtz. You're not Ryan Day. Let's just go back to our corners here, okay?
I'll squabble. I just choose not to. You know, I try to keep
he's going all Ryan
simple.
Day here. What's going
you
on?
You know? What did
never
I say,
go
Curtis?
Full day, Rich.
Never don't go full
day. Never go full day.
I don't know. Did you question his team's toughness? All right, thanks, Curtis.
Thanks, Curtis.
Be well, brother. Enjoy those pulled pork.
Oh my goodness, God, gracious!
That
let's just follow this one up. He's also been waiting 2 hours.
Nick,
come on, Nick, where you at, baby?
He's in Corona, California.
Eating 70 burgers.
Right. This is the guy who has it. It's already over. You had the Broncos going 15-2.
Is it too late for a mulligan?
Yes. That horse is out of the barn, pal.
Redo.
Hey, can we just cut to the facts? Is Sean Payton really tanking for Caleb Williams?
No.
I mean, come on.
No.
Well,
Get out of here.
Let me say this. Sean Payton got his karma. To come out before the season and talk smack about Nathaniel Hackett, I will say Nathaniel Hackett didn't lose by 50 last year, nor did he have an offense put up 70 points. So, Sean Payton, get your act together.
Well, Sean Payton was the coach of the last team that scored at least 60 in a game, and he did it on the Orlovsky Colts when Peyton Manning was out with his neck injury. So, you know, look, man, 15-2 ain't happening. At least you know that by now, right? At least you know that. So
it's tough to be a Broncos fan.
Well, hang in there, Nick. Thanks for the call. I love it how folks are just wanting to revisit their win-loss games from a few weeks ago. Man. Oh, man. They could turn that thing right around. The Chicago Bears are next. And then the Jets are after that. As for the Bears, let's talk about them. Last time this man spoke on a Wednesday, got a little dicey fast
not
in Chicago.
Not great, Bob.
When Justin Fields said he was playing, he felt robotic out there. When asked what was the cause of that, his first word was coaching, and then started talking about how comfortable he is there, and it does appear again that he was thinking about things. And I'm trying to put it in a context because he accused the media of taking things out of it. And again, he's just a young kid who's trying to learn on the fly in a system that all 22 Twitter savages this offense. Honestly, if you had a look at all 22 Twitter and who they savage the most, it's the scheme and the way Fields is running it and the way that Luke Getsy is dialing it up right now. Right? What's being savaged more?
And the fact that he's not being used as a runner at all. There's no design run plays.
And the ones that are just awful. Sophomoric.
He's late with throws. He's missing windows. Right. Like, everything is just getting nuked on this.
Well, Kurt on game day morning was saying it just looks like he's thinking too much.
Yeah.
That he's making throws and plays that are just not instinctive to the quarterback position, which, you know, is kind of an instinctive position. A lot of neck up. That goes into playing quarterback. So yeah. Justin Fields speaking today, coming off of a dreadful day in Arrowhead. Earlier on in the program, I equated the Bears to being the Captain Stubings of the NFL, meaning that was their only reason for being around on Sunday was having two stars fall in love with each other.
Come aboard.
They were the vessel, if you will, that Travis and Taylor, Telsey, although people are pushing back saying we should call him Trailer. I just can't.
Trailer.
Because, you know, Robert Tractor Trailer from...
Rest in peace.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm a Michigan guy, and it's just like, I'm not going to call him Trailer, you know?
Telsey
is the way that the way it was described to me. And again, as you know, I'm at the hub of all the gossip here.
Telsey's the best.
I'm right in the middle of all this.
You're in the middle? Okay.
Definitely not.
No. RMZ?
So, after playing Captain Stubing, having two famous lovebirds just fall in love on their cruise ship while they were sailing straight through the Bears defense, this is what Justin Fields had to say now.
I mean, I just know, you know, all the adversity I go through is, you know, going to make me stronger. So, you know, as a person and as a player. So, just got to look at, you know, the bright side of things and think of yourself as, you know, going through adversity for a reason.
How do you keep everybody's morale up?
Just talking to them, communicate.
Did you feel freer out there, less robotic, some of the things that you were talking about last week that you wanted to kind of overcome?
Yes, I did.
He's giving you nothing now. Two things that haven't improved from last week. One is the offense of the Bears. And two, who's the heavy-fingered person who's taking notes in Chicago?
Somebody's like,
there every by the way, Mike, conference. The microphones. Mike Del Tufo.
Good mics.
They're picking it up.
Yeah. What they do, they have overhead mics.
What do they have, Mike?
They have overhead mics for the reporters to ask the questions.
Oh, is that what they have?
The person's not riding the microphones. You would lower that while he's speaking. That's a problem.
Interesting. So they should take notes. So
they need a mixer.
I could consult.
They need a mixer.
Are you saying the people running the microphones are robotic as well?
Yes.
Don't do the motions.
They're not going through instinctual.
We got to ride those faders. Come on now.
Somebody is typing with heavy fingers in Chicago, and I want a name.
What are you using, a ThinkPad?
The official stenographer of the Chicago Bears.
It's loud.
Come on.
It's nuts. Right. I'm sorry. All right.
It's better than the offense. I mean,
this game, whoever loses it, is going to be in the midst of a five-alarm NFL fire.
Rich, I'm going to push back on that. Okay. The loser of this game is the actual winner.
We're not there yet.
Man can't jump. Sometimes you lose, and sometimes when you
LeVar
lose,
ball?
You really win.
Is that the LeVar ball drop?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Bears are understanding the assignment right now. They have the Carolina Panthers first-round pick, Rich. Do you understand that the Bears are in a situation to have Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr. with DJ Moore and Khalil Herbert?
Even when you lose, I win.
Understanding the assignment.
Mm.
The loser of this game is the winner.
Well, then you got to go full on in to keep it going.
But you got
13 more games to go, bro.
Well, look at the Bears' schedule. I think there's a lot of losses coming.
Are we really going to go? We started the show with who's going to stay undefeated the longest.
Who's defeated the longest? Who's going to be defeated the longest?
We're really doing
by
this.
By the way, look at week 10. Oh, goodness.
Another one where the loser is the actual winner. No, excuse me.
But it actually benefits the Bears.
But Carolina, so if the Bears lose, then the Panthers pick is worse, though.
But it doesn't matter.
That's so
but
stupid.
Their Bears get the one pick.
Yeah, but you know who's not going to take part in this? The kid whose job would get replaced. Justin Fields ain't going 1-16 just to do one for the a solid for Caleb Williams to get there, that he survived Bryce Young only to get got by Caleb Williams. Although, what a choice. The Bears, Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison together.
That's what I'm saying.
Oy, oy, oy.
That's what I'm saying.
Whoever loses this game still is going to get roasted savagely. I don't know how hot the Denver sports talk scene is compared to Chicago's or...
I would imagine Chicago's.
I mean,
we're
in the midst of it.
A little more fire.
In Colorado. I mean, if anybody from Colorado wants to call in, I'm happy to chat with them. You know, but...
Are you trying to say Sean Payton hot seat if they lose?
Hell no. It's Russ Wilson hot seat. Everybody hot seat. George Payton hot seat.
Yeah.
You know who's not going anywhere unless he wants to? Sean Payton.
You think he misses Glaze in the
box? I'm saying he might look longingly to see what's going on, but I'm sure he's... Come on, man. Sean Payton, I believe, is going to figure it out. And if the guys that are there aren't the ones who need to be there, then he will have the full faith and credit of the Walmart family to find to go shopping. That's Sean Mart, you know? 844-204-RICH, number to dial. More phone calls when we come back. My power rankings, which is me stating facts and the rest of the guys heckling me while I do it. That's next.
Wednesday heckle.
This
Let's go.
Is the Rich Eisen Show. Top rope, to use TJ's phraseology.
Oh, yeah. On October 5th, Loki is back in a brand new season.
Reunited.
That's right.
The countdown is on.
I've been waiting.
Don't miss the return of Marvel's most watched Disney Plus show.
Loki.
Loki. Loki.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
His time is running out.
You better run!
Marvel Studios' Loki Season 2. New episodes streaming October 5th, only on Disney Plus.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
My guest is Kim Zuckman. She is author of the book There's No Cream in Cream Soda. I don't think I've ever really known the story of why they're called hot dogs.
There are so many legends about the name of the hot dog. When the Germans immigrants came over and they brought all of their sausages, they also brought their dachshunds. It really is because they kind of look like dachshunds.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
Back here on the program, everybody. Should I reach out to my new BFF, J. Cole?
You should. We should have J. Cole in studio.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Cole World, baby. Let's go.
Come on.
You want to talk about clicks? We'll do that for clicks. Absolutely.
Oh, we do it for wins.
But he also knows his
Holler
stuff, too.
At your boy.
Do it, Rich.
He knows his stuff, too.
I tagged him in the tweet. Maybe he'll see it.
Cole World.
Hey, J. Cole. Let's have a summit.
What's up?
Come on, Mike. We're trying to be serious.
I don't think you should say that to J. Cole.
But if you call them.
Those commercials were funny.
Rich is putting out a message to J. Cole, man.
I'm sending out the signal. That's now twice he's tagged me in a post, right?
Yeah, he put Brockman's thumbnail on his page a couple years
ago. There was a brief moment in time about in March of 2022 where if you went to J. Cole's Instagram page of more than 8 million people follow him, I was the first thing you saw.
Because I said something about Colin Kaepernick.
There was a video that we had of Kaepernick, but it happened to start. The shot was on me before the cut.
Oh, you're welcome.
And then I was on the cut.
So you got all the fame and none of the flack.
All the fame.
None of the flack.
Right.
None of it.
Zero.
I got all the flack. You got all the fame.
Zero.
Yeah, but think about
it. So you did it for clicks. I did it for winning.
Oh, yeah, that's right, true. Right.
But I got the clicks.
You're getting all the flame from the Taylor Swift songs when it was like a collective effort that did it here took the NFL Network.
Sometimes,
I know I weighed in a
sometimes,
lot.
Sometimes there are coattails. What can I tell you?
Well, you wrote ours? Is that what you're saying?
Because that's what I'm saying.
We did it first.
Sometimes there are coattails.
You all need to calm down.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this guy.
Do you think,
I thought there was a follow-up
today.
What are
you doing, Mike?
I didn't say one song that
you
day.
You don't even like her.
Because you don't
her.
Know any.
I like her. I just
You've come around?
I'm around.
She's fantastic.
I'm around, he says. I'm around.
She is brilliant. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Our podcast. What? Check them all out. What happened?
What happened? Holy smokes.
What happened?
Dame Lillard trade.
Oh, it happened.
Oh, it did.
It happened?
Holy crap.
All right, let me guess. He's going to the Heat.
No.
Where's he going?
Milwaukee Bucks.
They didn't trade Giannis.
Of course not.
They didn't trade Giannis.
Wow.
What did they trade?
According to Woj.
Middleton's gone, right? Middleton's out?
Oh, my goodness. Hold on, let's see. I don't know if there's any...
Wow, Woj bomb the Bucks. That's a one way to tell Giannis we mean business.
Here we go. Three-team deal.
Oh, my goodness.
Lillard goes to Milwaukee as part of a three-team deal with Drew Holiday, DeAndre Ayton, Tuami Kamara, a 29 unprotected Milwaukee first. Unprotected Milwaukee swaps and 20 and 30 go to the Blazers. Phoenix gets Nurkic, Grayson Allen, Nasir Little, and Keon Johnson. And damn, the Bucks get Damian Lillard. Wow.
So they keep Middleton?
Keep Middleton.
So Middleton, Giannis, Lillard.
With
and everyone else who's
with
left.
Lopez and who's ever left. Yeah.
Nurkic goes to the...
Goes to Phoenix.
So what does that mean for Ayton?
No, Ayton goes to the Blazers.
To the Blazers.
Yeah.
Okay. So think of that. So Ayton goes... So they got...
So wow. Drew Holiday.
So hold on a minute.
Ayton, unprotected Milwaukee first in 29 and unprotected swaps in 28 and 30 goes to Portland. Because you can't swap in back-to-back years. And then Phoenix gets Nurkic, Grayson Allen, Nasir Little, Keon Johnson. And Milwaukee gets Dame time.
Okay, so first of all, Milwaukee gets Damian Lillard. End of story. Giannis starts making noises about, like, I need to see if we're about winning here.
Exactly.
Okay, I need to see. He starts making noises that, new horizons, and the Bucks have run out of Antetokounmpos they can acquire to keep him happy.
They
right?
All the brothers.
They've exhausted all the Antetokounmpos.
They're asking the mom, "Are you sure you're done?"
Like, maybe they did check with home to make sure there's nobody left, right?
Wow. Okay. Sure.
And so, but how about the Suns when, Jokic undressed Ayton? Undressed him. And
well, he did that to everybody.
I know, but in particular, though, a Suns team that had Durant now and they're thinking this is it, and Jokic and the Nuggets come in and just undress Ayton. And I know Jokic is an equal opportunity undresser. So they're able to now flip him elsewhere.
He was unhappy there.
I understand, but what I'm saying is they get out from under and get Nurkic, who's really good, man.
Until he got hurt.
I like it.
Double-double machine, Nurkic.
I like it.
No surprise, Milwaukee now your favorite to win the NBA title. Denver second, Boston third.
I don't have it written down. Give it to me one more time who Portland gets.
Okay.
Because Portland has been holding up. They've been holding on for...
So they get the bulk of this. They get Drew Holiday.
Okay.
Obviously, awesome player.
Yes.
DeAndre Ayton.
Yes.
Tumani Kamara, who I got to be honest, never heard of. A 29 unprotected Milwaukee first. And then unprotected pick swap rights in 28 and 30.
What do you think of that haul?
Obviously, this was the better deal they must have received. We heard recently that Toronto was in the mix. Everyone kind of assumed it was going to be Miami. Obviously.
And he wanted out. It was over.
He was kind of becoming the bad guy, which I didn't really like.
Neither did I.
I guess they preferred Drew Holiday over Tyler Hero or anyone that Toronto was offering up. You get the first round, you get the swaps, and then DeAndre Ayton coming in. Great young player.
I'm sorry to keep saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Because clearly, the fact that the Bucks are able to calm Giannis's concerns with Damian Lillard.
By the way, shout out Giannis for obviously making this happen by his comments last week.
And then keeping the rest of the team, obviously losing Jrue Holiday is significant.
This team's not better than Denver.
This team's not better than Denver?
I'm just looking at what's left on the roster. I don't think so. I think Denver is still right now.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay.
But, hold on a minute.
Okay.
But the Suns solve their Ayton problem.
Correct.
And facilitate Lillard leaving the conference.
Yes. And you still have Kevin Durant and Devin Booker.
And the rest.
Yeah.
It's kind of a W for them, too.
Like, W
for
them, too.
They're raising their hands. We'll be the third team in. So we get to solve our Ayton problem.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I know Nurkic hurt, what have you, but he's a good player, man.
Yeah, Nurkic, good big man.
Okay, and so
Grayson Allen can shoot the three.
Right.
Good guy off the bench.
You have your team now that clearly still needed some seasoning in terms of their cohesion, despite Durant being dropped in midseason. And you facilitate Lillard's departure. I mean, I'd raise my hand and say, I'll be your third team, and if you need help.
Yeah, I'm your Huckleberry there.
Wow. Okay.
Dang. You don't think this pushes them over Denver, huh, TJ?
Not as the way they're – obviously, they haven't updated the roster, so I'm just kind of like reading this. I just don't feel the way this roster is. They're obviously going to keep trying to tinker with it, I feel, a little bit to get some more time.
Yeah, you got
to
add some depth.
But as of right now, to say that they're the favorites, I think that's just – just reacting to, like, yeah. Oh my God.
Right.
I
just think it's great that the good thing the Bucks didn't trade away Giannis.
For Tyler Hero.
Okay.
Also, I do like that this is kind of this kind of takes down the Miami fan ego a little bit. They were really feeling themselves with the way the Heat finished last year.
And no now the doubt. Dolphins. There's
right.
no doubt.
They were no doubt.
He wanted to go there. There's no doubt Riley was going to figure it out. Coach Spo.
Riley's going to get it done.
But wouldn't it be great if the Heat just beat him anyway?
No, but I see your point.
Here we go, man. All right.
The East is stacked.
All right.
Again, East is stacked.
All right.
Philly, Boston, Milwaukee, let's go.
Well, my team's still in turmoil right now.
Hey, you could get Paul George or Kawhi.
I don't know.
Maybe the Knicks might make a move here and there and get the Schmecky guy hanging out at the Sphere the whole year.
Donovan Mitchell wants to be a Knicks.
There's a lot of points.
Let's figure this thing out and send Dolan to his Sphere. You go watch U2 Friday night. We got this.
U2's got a lot of dates. You can stay.
We got this.
But Brockman now can
then
watch
Harry
everything.
Styles after
the whole season.
Hey, man. Shout out DirecTV.
Somebody should just hack the Sphere and put Charles Oakley's photograph on.
Hack the Sphere. It's $1 million for, like, I think.
Seriously.
How much?
Dude. Like, you get it.
Advertising on the Sphere?
That should be the next Ocean's movie. Is that George Clooney gets the gang together to hack the Sphere and put Oakley's photograph on it. And the Dolan is Terry Benedict, right? And they figure out the code.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Like, there's got to be some computers that handle what's on the Sphere. Let's hack it.
Yeah, for sure.
And put Charles Oakley's photograph on it. I don't advocate for anything illegal. Again, I don't know anything.
Well, that is illegal, though.
I'm like the Elliot Gould here. I don't know anything. I got nothing.
Rich, I'm going in two.
I'm like the
weeks.
Jewish guy with the chain in this Ocean's caper. Okay.
I just hope
they don't
facially recognize
me. For anywhere from 800K to $1 million,
yeah, 2 million.
You can put anything you want on the Sphere for 414 minutes.
Yeah, I guarantee you, it's not anything you want on the Sphere.
Probably not anything.
I guarantee you, whatever's put on the Sphere is 1,000,000%. Placed on James Dolan's desk to personally okay.
So you're
like
saying,
Terry Benedict.
So you're saying he cares about the Sphere more than he cares about the Knicks.
Let's just put it honestly. Focus on that Sphere. Leon Rhodes will focus on the other Sphere in your garden. Just go to Vegas. Get out of the way because you got to. Let's go. Let's add some. The East is now the beast.
East is stacked.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Wow.
Good stuff, guys.
Wow.
Way to be on the air on it.
Wow.
I can't believe
that. Wait a minute. Hey folks. If you're, this might be, some people in certain areas of the country might be more interested in getting some tickets.
Yes.
And Game Time is there for you. It is a frustrating ticket buying experience world we live in. That's where Game Time comes into play for sure. You shouldn't have to worry when you're buying tickets to your next big event. And I'm not just talking about sports. I'm talking about music, comedy, theater events right near you. There's killer last-minute deals on Game Time. All-in prices, views from your seat, their best price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I'm telling you, Zan's all over me about SZA. Here SZA. Locally, he is all over me. He wants to go in the worst way. I've already been there.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've already seen it.
Done that. And I need earmuffs. Not because of it's loud. It's just a lot of words.
Oh. A lot of words.
A lot of words.
But she's incredibly talented, and I'm monitoring on Game Time prices, locations, all of it, because you get the lowest price guarantee. There's event cancellation protection. You pick the section. Game Time picks the seats with zone deals for an average of 18% savings. Let's take the guesswork out, people. The buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account, redeem code RICH for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Let's go back to the phone lines right here. Nam in San Diego, down the road from us. What's up? Is it Nam or Nam?
Hey, Rich, it's Nom.
Nom! I feel like Cheers. Nom! Afternoon, everybody. What's up?
First, shout out to TJ. I'm a lifelong Cowboy fan, so thanks for holding it down for us.
My man, Nom. Thank you, bro.
What's the it that he's holding down, Nom?
Yeah. I'm holding down, taking all the wrath.
Okay.
I mean, I have a Jets question for you, Rich. I don't really want to go down the Cowboys rabbit hole with you, you know.
Yeah, I mean... I mean, why would you, based on what we saw last week? You'd rather talk about my misery. I see what you're doing, Nom. What's up, Nom? What's up? Bring it. What do you got?
I have a hypothetical I want to throw out and get your take on. Okay. So I know you and Jets fans have been talking about trading for Kirk Cousins if the Vikings season keeps going down this road. So I wanted to pull at that thread. Let's say that happens and Kirk Cousins provides quarterback play that you've been waiting for. Gets the team back on track. Let's say they get hot. They get, you know, into the playoffs. Let's just say they even win it all, right? So, scenario at the end of the season then, you've got Kirk Cousins who's come in and taken your team to accomplish something you haven't done in a long time. And then on the flip side, you've got Aaron Rodgers who sounds like he wants to come back and play. What do the Jets do at that point if that scenario plays out that way?
Hey, Nom, I will sign for that right now because right now I am in a world of poop. There's no way out right now, Nom. There appears to be no way out. And thank you for the call. I will sign for that right now. I'll sign for that right now. Oh, what are you going to do if Kirk Cousins comes in and takes you to the playoffs and goes so deep on a run? What are you going to tell Aaron Rodgers when he's ready to come back?
Great problem to have.
Oh, my God. I would sign for that first class problem right now because my class of problems right now is so damn low, it's getting hot. We're that close to that center of the earth. It's a molten mass down there that the Jets live in right now. Period. I would please give me that problem. The question is, would the Jets go down that road in order to open that problem? Because I am getting so many questions right now from my friends, Jets friends. Who's ordering the code red on Tim Boyle? Who's ordering the code red on getting somebody significant in here right now, even though nobody's walking through that door significant? No team is going to give the Jets anybody significant to play quarterback right now. Now, they need those people. They are not ready to cash in their chips on 2023 just yet, which is the problem about Rodgers getting hurt too soon. Why are the Jets so adamant in staying with a guy that is so, in the Jets fans' mind, unusable? Again, well, Robert Saleh spoke about Zach Wilson on this very day. Talked about Joe Namath, which we'll get to in a second. But why Zach Wilson still, especially when the monsters from Kansas City are coming to town Sunday night. Roll it.
The only advice you can give a young man like that is you've got to block it out. You know, have confidence in yourself. Have confidence in your teammates. Noise is noise. And trying to play your way out of the noise by creating rather than just stay within the structure and confidence in yourself is just going to make things worse. You know, a lot of times offensive guys or even defensive players in general, when they feel like they need to make a play, they actually make things worse. The play you need to make is the play that's available to you at that moment. And when you have that mindset to just be precise in your job, usually it stacks up and you can piggyback and get more production out of yourself. But for him, just block the noise, have confidence in yourself, and find a way to stack up good plays.
I mean, I so root for this guy. He's so great. I so want this guy to have the quarterback he needs, and he had it for four snaps and 75 seconds, and he's doing his best. And my Jets friends are like, why is he so positive about this guy when we're so miserable? And then Joe Namath says what he says, that get rid of him. I'm sick of seeing him. This is what Saleh had to say about Namath.
I haven't spoken to Joe, but obviously Joe is an icon, Hall of Famer, and a well-respected individual in this organization. Doors always open for him to walk in, and my office is always open for him. And but you know, we'll agree to disagree with his comments, but he is entitled to those comments.
That's right. He is indeed, and he's giving voice to so many people. Again, the why, Zach. Let me just hit that for Jet fans out there. Again, the why, Zach, is are you going to turn to Tim Boyle now? You don't even know Tim Boyle. You have no idea. My brother texted me. He goes, what if he's the next Brock Purdy? I'm like, okay. That's one way to put it, which is another reason why you go knock. Like, if Kaepernick wants to show off his craft, like, there's no bad ideas right now. There's no bad ideas right now. None. Zero bad ideas right now. I only lamented Trevor Siemian because it's just a guy that was around who just reminded me of the time Darnold had mono and he lasted only six passes before his ankle got snapped. The latest example of the football gods looking at the Jets and saying, yeah, whatever you think is the worst thing that can happen, it's going to. There's no bad ideas, which is, again, sticking Zach out there might be... like sound like a bad idea. It's the least bad idea is what, as of right now. What are you going to stick Tim Boyle on Sunday Night Football out there and then completely render this guy useless? What are you going to then turn back to Zach? You can't do that. It's a fact. So you just scheme it up and just say screw it and just like roll out every trick in the book. Roll it out.
Start
onside kick. It's that sort of stuff. Like, go YOLO. But the why Zach is also something that is the issue moving forward if Zach continues down this path, as I think we all know is going to continue. Would it be great if it's like, say, Succession. Remember Succession? First two episodes were not that great. And then episode three just took off like a rocket ship. And then stellar seasons, awards everywhere.
Yep.
You know, first two seasons like this. Oh, the rocket ship starts launching on Sunday night against Mahomes, who Romo said was Zach Wilson's ceiling when he came out of BYU. Wouldn't it be ironic if that's when this starts taking off? The rocket ship starts taking off. It all comes together. The pieces start falling. The beautiful mind starts clicking. And boom, isn't this great? But let's just say that doesn't happen. And like our Carla Nam's like, what would be the issue if Kirk Cousins wins significant playoff games for you? Get you to the playoffs. You somehow get him. Get you to the playoffs. Goes deep in. And then what happens when Rodgers comes back? I'm wondering, is there a part of this organization that's thinking, we're still all in on Rodgers? He's not here. Aaron is in California convalescing. And he is our quarterback of the future, too. More than Zach ever is going to be. He's the quarterback of our future. So we're just going to try and get through it with Trevor Siemian and Zach, and we're not going to go make that big trade for Cousins if he's available or anybody else. Like, we're not YOLOing for Stafford either. We're not going to Godfather offer our way to somebody to save this season because Rodgers is coming back. And we're also not going to throw the offensive coordinator under the bus because that's Rodgers' guy. Is that part of the Jets' thinking? Because I'll tell you what Jet fans are thinking right now. I don't care. Like, get somebody who's going to win games now because the rest of the team can win now. I'm wondering if this is part of the Rubik's Cube that's trying to be figured out. Because Rodgers got hurt so quickly. So if Saleh's talking it up and he's coming across as a cheerleader for Zach Wilson, what's he going to do? What's the other thing? You bring in Trevor Siemian and you coach him up. So if Zach is rendered inoperable, then you go with this guy. Hope that answers your question. I feel like I'm talking about this every day because there's something new every day coming up, whether it's Namath, you know, saying something and Rodgers essentially telling Joe to pipe down, you're not helping. The coach has got to respond to it. And then Sunday night's coming. Oh, my God. The Chiefs. Whole country going to watch. Damian Lillard's a buck.
Wow.
Let's take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. My power rankings and more of your phone calls to wrap up this Dame Time edition now, huh? Hey, it's Rich Eisen. You want an exciting and fast-paced podcast based on one of the most popular segments in the history of the Rich Eisen Show? Well, you got it. Overreaction Monday, hosted by me, Rich Eisen, and my compadre, Chris Brockman. And every Monday, we're going to dive into the headlines from pro and college football and overreact. Are you ready, Chris Brockman? Yay or nay?
Yes, Rich. No holding back, buddy. I'm coming for you.
Absolutely what you need to hear. Overreaction Monday, every single Wait For It Monday, wherever you listen. So yesterday, remember I said I don't like that push play the Eagles are legally doing? I don't like it.
Yes.
You say, Rich.
Stop it.
Right. And I say, yeah, they should stop it. I don't like it.
And so, I said, just throw people over.
Yeah. Well,
that was funny.
Nick Sirianni was asked about this play today, and I guess somebody's trying to come up with a name for it. Check it out.
You guys implemented the tush push, and I know that so much has been made of it. Did you have any?
Is that what we're calling it?
I guess.
Okay. I used to.
Brotherly shove.
Brotherly shove.
Can we just go with that?
Whatever comes up first in the search engine.
Yeah. I kind of like that.
I do too.
Who came up with that?
I don't know. I found it online. Okay.
We knew the rules that, you know, anytime we put a play in that maybe not, you know, that not a lot of people run, we'll definitely, you know, and that there could be a. Anything within the rules, we'll always look into that. So we knew the rules that was completely legal, and you know, it's been a good play for us. Really good play for us. You know, because the guys make it go and make it work.
By the way, I like that, the brotherly shove. That's good. Whoever came up with that one,
pretty good.
RES Consulting says to salute.
Yeah.
We raise our glass.
I hate it, but it makes sense.
The city of brotherly shove.
Yeah. God, I hate it, but
I love it. That's fantastic.
Because okay. You don't want to call it the Bush push. I mean, that's so old. It's college. Yeah. It's not even anything to do with Philadelphia. It's just an ugly play. It's not pretty. It's not great. You can't spot the ball. You don't know where the hell it is. By the way, so you're aware, I do see the comments on our videos and things of that nature. I am in the extreme minority on this issue.
Oh, yeah.
You, gentlemen, are in the majority for sure.
You'd also love it if the Jets could do it.
I want the Jets to just get any first down. I don't care if they're shoving it.
They should do that.
Throwing it.
Four times, just right down the field.
I don't care.
Crawl.
Back here on our show, radio and Roku together. I've got the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, along with the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Mike McDaniel was asked about taking on the Buffalo Bills this coming weekend. He was asked about that this very day. Last time they played each other was in the snow in Western New York in a great classic on NFL Network. I missed it because I was fresh off of calling a one touchdown game between the Ravens and the Browns, but that's my problem, not yours. Mike McDaniel, who is a national treasure in front of all of us now, growing into the role of top-notch head coach in the NFL, had this to say about it being a revenge game.
If you need to be motivated for a game like this, check your pulse, or maybe consider a career adjustment. So in terms of revenge, I mean, I don't think when you're playing a quality opponent in your division, there's always going to be, you know, it's the Bills. It's a Bills game is the way, you know, it feels to us. And they have earned the right to be the division champion for several years, and they continue to play at a high level. So, you know, I think it's a very, very difficult challenge that I think our players are pumped for, because you sign up to play the best, and I think they fit that.
I love it. It's tough for the league to wrap their arms around the fact that they're being dominated. Defenses are being dominated by a guy who sounds like Jeff Spicoli. Right. But guess what? He's coming for you. He is coming for you, as well as my power rankings. Hit it. Hit it.
This is my
power rankings. Here we go. Here we go. Week 4 power rankings.
Let's go.
Week 4 power rankings.
Yeah. I got a feeling I'm not going to like this power rankings.
You week. Will not, sir.
Cowboys out.
Cowboys out.
I've got 3 new teams on my power rankings list this week. Man. And we start with one of them. I thought to myself, which 2-1 team that was out there still remaining would beat the other ones? And that's how I decided the 2-1 teams that would make this ranking.
Rational, logical thinking, Rich Eisen.
Pittsburgh Steelers are 10th on this list.
Ooh.
The way they are balling on defense, if Pickett is starting to put things together like it's the preseason, they're not running the ball, though. They're just not running it. And I know everybody's blaming Canada like it's South Park. So 2-1 Steelers, though, are 10th on this list. And I'm putting in front of them, and I know this is going to upset Steelers Nation because the Pittsburgh Steelers beat this team, but I'm putting the Browns 9th. I'm putting the Browns 9th.
I'm good with that.
I like what Jim Schwartz is dialing up, man, is insane. And Myles Garrett is leading them. And what a comment that Steve Wyche said in hour one. I think it's so insightful. That, yes, you want Nick Chubb. Of course you want Nick Chubb. And I can't wait for him to come back and run. But the fact that maybe now they're focusing on Watson in shotgun. They're going to put him in shotgun more instead of having him under center and handing it off to Nick Chubb and turning his back to the defense. They're going to have him in shotgun. He's a shotgun quarterback. And I think you saw how that looked for the first time with Watson this past week. The Browns are the 9th. Team on my power rankings list. Factual. Number 8 on this list, up two spots. I'm putting the Detroit Lions here. I can't wait to see what's happening on Thursday night. The NFC North leg up for the winner. 2-0-3 teams at the bottom, 2-2-1 teams. I thought about putting the Packers on this list, but I think the Steelers would beat them. That's why I put the Steelers on. If the Packers are like 10A and the Lions are 8. And they're returning to the spot where they ended Rodgers' Packers career. And I think they're going to be feeling good about themselves. And I think this team's going to prove better on the road, believe it or not. Even though Goff loves playing in a dome. So I'm putting them 8th here. 7th on this list. I had them, then I took them off, and the Seahawks are back on it. Back on it. When are they going to get Jaxon Smith-Njigba involved? That might open up the offense a little bit more, even though I don't think they need many opening up here. But the Seahawks pounded Carolina. They're 7th on this list. Now here come the teams that stay on it. The Cowboys are down 4 spots. I put them here at 6.
Okay.
They punched down, and then they got punched up. That happens too damn much. I'm concerned about it. I'm going to give them a pass that Trevon Diggs was out, and they had to play 2 days later. Thinking about it, the Jets couldn't even think about Rodgers. They had to live in the first blush moment. They got through it. I'm going to give the Cowboys a pass, make them 6. And then the next few moving up one spots. The Bills are cracking my top five again. Boy, 37-3. That was something.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia Eagles are fourth on this list. The City of Brotherly Shove, they're fourth on this list. I still need to see a little bit more out of their offense. Red zone and things of that nature. I think they'll straighten it out. But they're going to beat most every team in the NFL, but maybe not the teams above them right now. I have the Chiefs three. Defensively, they're terrific. Offensively, they're getting better. They might face a team where that take away Kelce and say, what else are you going to do? But right now, they haven't been put in that position. I doubt the Jets will be one of them. Heaven forbid. Number two on this list, even though they just put up a 70 burger, I'm having them two. I've got the Miami Dolphins two here because the team that I think is going to win the Super Bowl beat the crap out of the Giants, and I'm not going to take them out of the one spot. The San Francisco 49ers are still atop my power rankings. I got 3-0 teams, 1-2-4 with the Chiefs in the middle. And those are my week four power rankings right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Not much heckling today.
Well, we're up against it.
All right, well, then you got one more segment on the Roku channel.
Good timing by you.
Okay.
Good time.
Blame Woj. He took us off our game a little bit with the Woj bomb on Damian Lillard going to Milwaukee.
Hey guys, it's Susie Schuster, and I am so excited for my new podcast coming out this fall. It is called What the Football with Susie Schuster and the Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to about jargon, heavy-legged waistbenders, this is not for you. We're going to have big girl conversations, and we are going super deep to bring you weekly guests that you won't find anywhere else. It is What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, wherever you listen.